Amen. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life, life in its abundance. Did you see that in your Bible? John 10, verse 10. I'll be speaking on the subject I've titled Peace in the Midst of the Storm this morning. Can I have the first light up? Is that the biggest we can have? No, go back. Yeah. The first one? Okay. Is that possible to zoom a bit? Or is that the biggest we can have it? Okay, yeah, a bit. I don't know if you've seen this painting before. Anyone seen that this painting before? Okay. Can we zoom in a bit more? That's it. Can anyone notice the eagle height once amongst us? Can you notice anything unusual? No? Okay. We'll talk about it later. Sorry? The shape of your face, well done. Anything else? A bit unusual? Sorry? The what? Okay. I can't really hear you properly. We'll come back to the painting. Okay, thank you. Well, we can get to take it off for now. So that painting was created by an American artist, Jack Dawson, and it was inspired by a story about an art competition on the theme of peace. So while many artists painted quiet lakes and gentle sunsets, the winning idea was very different. Back to the painting. And that was like a violent storm, lightning tearing across the sky, waves crashing. You can see how chaos, almost chaos everywhere. If you look, zoom in again. Keep zooming. There's a bird nesting just in there. Can you see in the little crack? Good, well done. In the midst of that chaos, splashes and violence of the storm and the lightning you mentioned, there's a white bird nestling peacefully in the midst of all that, tucked safely into the cleft of a rock. So Dawson captured that idea of the tiny bird undisturbed, sheltered within the rock, while the powerful waterfall and the flash, the storm and the lightning were all doing their thing around. And that's a record that is a picture of true peace. So not the absence of trouble, but calm in the midst of it. Thank you. And Jesus speaks to the same reality in the Gospel of John 16, verse 33, for example. Jesus says to us, I've told you these things in the world that you may have peace. He says, in this world, you will have what? So there will be lightning, there will be torrential rainfalls, there will be seasons that, seasons that feel like very chaotic, like we saw in that painting. He says, well, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In the world, you have trouble. But take heart. Why? I have overcome the world. Okay. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Many of us love sports, okay, and I don't want to find out the team you're supporting because mine isn't doing too great at the moment. If you're watching a replay of a game, usually you are less tense. You've known the result already, and you're just watching the replay. Okay, so let's say the score, we can take off the screen, thank you. Let's say the score was 1-0, and you're watching the replay, and you saw the opposing team, you knew your team won. And then you saw it, and then you see a goal in the replay. You're watching the replay, and it seems the other team just called. You will know that something is going to happen. Maybe VAR will do his thing or something. Why? Because you just know the result. In a sense, it's that kind of thing. Jesus says to us, I've told you these things. I've told you the score. Okay? You know what the score is. There's no need to be unusually tensed because you know what the score is. I've told you these things so that you can relax. I told you all, what the score is. In this world, you will have trouble. That's a given. But take heart. Why? I have overcome the world. Back to football. I know people who don't watch games live. Maybe because they're hypertensive And if you think it's not a real thing, I have a friend who lost his dad watching a Nigerian game. Yeah. No, really. So it's a thing. This is like a replay. Our Lord and Master knows the end from the beginning. He says, take heart. Why? I have overcome the world. Think of the image of that bird again, just resting peacefully in the cleft of the rock with no care in the world, even though chaos was all around it. I think that bird knew something that many of us probably don't know. So Jesus didn't tell us that the world would be easy. And it's not telling us to pretend as if life will be. It does not promise us as Christians a trouble-free existence. It tells us plainly, in this world you will have trouble. Many of us would rather want that verse, erased from the Bible. It's telling us the way it is. And we know that is true. We face personal challenges, sometimes family tensions, sometimes struggles with finances or health or uncertainties about future. We also face wilder challenges. If you are from Iran, we've got an Iranian here in church. Or if you're from Yemen or South Sudan or other places, Ukraine, where there are conflicts beyond your ability to do anything about, you understand that the world is a trouble-ridden place. Division, instability, things could feel very fragile. Yet in the same breath, Jesus says to us, in me you have peace. Not the absence of trouble, but peace in the midst of it. When I speak to people sometimes, they will say, oh, is God giving you something prophetic the way you know? Yeah, sometimes that happens, but sometimes I'm just talking to you because you're human like me. We all going through stuff. The dimension, the seasons, the nature of it might be different, but to be human is to go through these challenges. Sometimes when we're younger, we live like in a bubble, and our parents shield us from some of these things. But the older we get, the more we realize that, listen, it's not all about birthday cakes and birthday parties. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should lose our childhood innocence and not enjoy the world and be happy. No, we should. But part of maturity is also realizing that there are other stuff going on all the time. Challenges of your own, challenges of your community, challenges, of your nation. But Jesus says in the midst of all these, he's giving us the gift of his peace. In our first reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, Apostle Paul mentioned that we have been justified through faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I did a whole sermon on that verse a couple of weeks ago. Before we can experience the peace of God in our circumstances, we must first have peace with God in our relationship with Him. We must have peace with God in our relationship with God before it is possible to experience the peace of God in our circumstances. Do you understand? In order for us to experience the peace of God in the midst of our storms and in the midst of our challenges, we must first have peace with God. Okay? Let's cast our mind back on the analogy of the football I'm talking about. Let's say you've got a group of you watching a game that is not live, it's recorded. Okay? Say you've got four of your friends who just, who are unaware that it's a recorded game. You're the only one who is aware. The reactions will be different, won't it? Let's say you are supporting the same team, and then you see the goal getting in from an Arsenal player, for example. And they all like this, but you are smiling. They'll say, what's wrong with you? You a traitor or something? Your approach will be different, even though you are all watching the same thing. You're facing a common enemy, similar challenges. It is the same, it's that same kind of feeling. When our relationship with God is sorted, we have peace with God. So when people talk of they've made their peace with God, it's not only just for when the hour of death is closing by. We all need to make our peace with God on a regular basis. And if there are things that we need to sort out with our Father, let's sort that out. Because you need to operate from that place of peace with God in order for you to be able to have peace in the midst of your challenges, my challenges. Peace with God means that the conflicts, whatsoever conflicts between us and God caused by sin or our disobedience, we try to resolve that. Not through our own special effort, but by accepting the gift of God's grace. Brothers and sisters, that is the foundation of the peace that we're talking about. Peace with God. It's a precursor to having peace in the midst of the storms of life. As I mentioned earlier, peace is not simply the absence of conflict, but it is that knowledge that in the midst of any conflict, God is with you. In the midst of any challenges, God, in the midst of any trouble, God is right there with you. And because of God's presence, we do not act like everyone else around us. You know something they don't know. God has overcome the world. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Jesus gives us another image in the Gospel of John chapter 10. He says he is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he says, I have come that you all may have life and have it to the full, have life in its abundance. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Another version says, have it in abundance. A shepherd does not promise that the sheep will never face danger. Every corner the sheep turns, there will always be dangers lurking here and there. But a good shepherd will always provide a steady presence, his guidance, his care. The book of Psalms 23 echoes, you know, what it means for the Lord to be our shepherd. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we won't need to fear. Not because the challenges or troubles aren't there. No. But why? Because he is with us. God is with us. Turn to the person sitting next to you and say to them, God is with you. Say it like you mean it.
God is with you.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, for God is with me. Notice it says through the valley, not around it. Even though we walk through that valley, Yes, there are some valleys that God will take us around. There are some valleys that God will give us, you know, wings like the eagles to jump over. But there are some valleys that we will walk through. And God doesn't love us any less when it takes us through those valleys than when it gives us the strength to soar upon wings like eagles. Many of us, we're very selective of the scriptures. We have some favorite ones. We have some that we don't like going near. So like in the world, you will have trouble. Many people won't say amen to that, would they? God is not only with us when life is smooth. It's the same God who gives us wings like eagles to soar over troubles and challenges. And it's the same God who takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's with us when life is hard, confusing, and painful. And he walks with us in and through the valley when we have to go through it. And this is why the Lord's peace is so different from what the world offers. Be careful of any version of Christianity that says that it's all roses and dollars and pounds and but no pain and no challenges. You just saw that in the back. I didn't make that up. Jesus himself said it. In the world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Similarly, Paul tells us in that Romans 5, he said, we also glory in our sufferings because we know suffering produces something, perseverance, character, and character hope. That may sound surprising. Glory. Why should someone glory in suffering? Paul is not saying we should glorify pain or suffering. He's just pointing out what God can produce through it. Some children did, like school trips and all that. And they went to a goldsmith. You know what they do? They do. And they were asking about, the refining process. And they said, oh, how do you know if silver is ready to, I mean, you put all these things in the fire and this looks so hot and all that. How do you know it is ready? And, the goldsmith said, when I can see my reflection in it, then I know it's ready. We glory in suffering. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character, hope. The hope is that we go through all these processes such that when people look at us, they can see the reflection of God, his image, formed in us. So those things, God in his wisdom understands. From our limited perspective as humans, we may not understand. And there are some things that we may not fully understand on this side of eternity. But God understands all things. And part of our job is just to trust in his wisdom and sort out our relationships with Him, our peace with God, therefore enabling us to have peace in the midst of our situations. As believers, we are invited to bring our struggles honestly to God. You know, back to the picture that I shared at the beginning of the service, the picture of that bird in the midst of the storm. Peace is not found in escaping the storm, but being secure within it. And that is the peace that God offers, a steady heart in unsteady circumstances. A steady heart in unsteady circumstances. I don't see that bird panicking in the picture. Even though there's chaos all around it. Thank you. As believers, let's learn to bring our struggles honestly to God. The Bible is full of Bible characters who lamented and brought their pain, confusion, and longing to God. We hear things like the Lamentations of Jeremiah, the Book of Psalms. We've got lots of lamentations from David and other psalmists brought to God in difficult seasons. Alongside our lamentation, we are also called to praise God even when we do not fully understand what's happening. We can take off the picture now. Thank you. Praising God in the midst of our situation is a way to register our trust in God. It's a way to say that we know that God is with us. If you are praising in the midst of chaos, it's either you are crazy or you know something others don't. Just like if the goal from the opposing side gets in when you're watching that football game and you are screaming, hooray, your friends will say, are you crazy or do you know something we don't know? And then they will understand when the VAR disallows the goal. Praise reminds us of who God is, even when life feels uncertain. And as Paul writes elsewhere, something called the peace of God, which transcends understanding. It means it defies logic. It's not rational. And Paul said in that passage of scripture that peace that transcends understanding may guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It does not always remove the problem, but it does hold us steadfast when everything around us feels overwhelming. So, brothers and sisters, in seasons of challenge, I know it's easy for fear and uncertainty to take over, but the Bible calls us to lift our gazes, to lift our heads, not to the problem, but to the one who is greater than the problem. Don't let the problem, the challenges, suck all your attention. That is what the devil wants. Don't let the challenges, the size of it, the breadth of it, suffocate your attention. That is what the devil wants. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And brothers, please, sisters, please, we do not need to have all the answers before we start praising God in the midst of those pain and challenges. We do not need to know what tomorrow holds if you already know who holds tomorrow. We don't need to know what tomorrow holds if we already know who holds tomorrow. So when life is good, let's give thanks. When life is hard, let's keep trusting God. When we are uncertain, let's lean on God, because God is with us in every season. Our prayer should not always be for God to remove every storm, because sometimes we pray that he should, and they just don't go away. But that shouldn't be things to prompt us from turning our backs away from God. Let us hold on to this truth that we have peace with God in Christ Jesus. We're led by a shepherd who walks with us through every valley. We're given a peace that the world cannot understand because they don't know the end score to the game. But we know someone who knows, and he's told us to relax, that he has overcome the world. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. May the peace of God that defies logic, that transcends all understanding, keep guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.